This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. For more information, go to FUBARradio.com.
Callum McSwiggan on FUBAR Radio.
To the Callum McSwiggan Show. That was a little bit of Demons by Hayley Kiyoko there. Today, I'm joined in the studio by the absolutely stunning, the gorgeous, it's Topher Taylor.
Hello, Callum. How are you?
I'm really good. It's a pleasure to have you here. And I want to get straight in and I want to jump right in at the deep end and talk about you and everything you do. So you're a sex educator.
Yeah. So I kind of, not so much I go to do lessons. I use social media. I submit articles for lots of magazines. I do videos and I have my own website and I just kind of talk to people about intimate parts of their bodies.
I think
issues surrounding them. No, it's all good. It's all good.
Yeah. I think it's a really, really important thing. And I don't think there's actually that many people doing it.
No. And I think a lot of it is public, and my routine is quite discreet, so I'm very much contact me privately and we can discuss it privately. Like, so I'm not going to say, like, send me your problems and I'll go through and choose the best ones to write about. I'm just like, send me a question and I'll reply to you private, like on my email. Or
that's, yeah. It's, I mean, it's amazing that you do that. And I honestly can't fathom how you have the time to do that. Because I imagine you must get quite a lot of these messages coming through.
Yeah, you do. I mean, I work full time as well. So I'm a brand manager for a chain of sex shops called Clone Zone. So that's my 10 to 6 or 9 to 5, whatever you call it. And it's not really, I'm working like 10, like 12 hours a day. But yeah, I just enjoy it. Like, it's my genuine passion. So it's, to me, it's not a job.
I love that.
I get paid to talk about dick.
I love that. Well, me too. We're both in that boat, which is great.
I like this boat.
I want to talk about your background and how you kind of ended up doing this. So I know you started out working in, not Clone Zone itself, but a different sex shop.
Yeah, I was just like 18 and I thought, I started out in 5-star hotels as a bellboy. I was like a little young kid and I was like, I need to do, like all my friends were doing really well. Like loads of my friends got popular and famous in my friend group. And I'm like, what have I got? Because they're all doing really well. And I'm like, what is my subject? And it's always sex. I'm like, right, how can I utilize that? Mm. And I wasn't like university educated. I didn't even get through school properly. So I was like, I'm going to have to blag it. So I thought, I'll start in sex shops, see how I do. So I went to a straight sex shop in Soho.
Oh, okay.
And
a straight sex shop in Soho?
I loved it. Because you get all like the freaks of Soho. And like, I say freaks in the good way.
In a loving way. Yeah,
I
absolutely.
Love it. Like you get like, you know, the crazy streetwalkers, you know, the homeless. And I quite got friendships with them. And I became friends with like the dominatrixes, you know, the escorts. And that's kind of how my career began. And I just sort of, I got progressed really fast there because I did well. Mm. And we used to kind of like monitor each other on who was making the most sales.
Oh, okay.
And obviously you make the most sales if you have the best communication with people. So people would come in and they'd be like this young kid, like, hi. And they're like, I think like, people just felt sorry for me. So I did well. And I got promoted and blah, blah, blah.
Did you find it all a little bit intimidating to begin with because you were so young?
I was quite brave.
Yeah.
Much more brave than I am now. So I would kind of walk into rooms, like put my hand up, say, hi, I'm Topher. Like, look everyone dead in the eye. Like, now I'm a bit more awkward.
But okay.
I was brave. I was genuinely interested in the subject and I was drawn to the underworld. So, like, when I'd see the more sketchy people come into the store, I'd be like, yes, this is my moment. I loved it. I just wanted to learn.
I love that.
And you know, that's the best way. Like, I was on the front line. You know, I was talking to people about, like, people come up to the till point and they'll be like, my dick doesn't work. And like you can kind of giggle about it, but you can think actually this is causing this person a lot of
distress. Yeah, like it's like, psychological. How can I help them?
It's very damaging. So it's kind of like, what can I do to guide them? And that's kind of how it all began. And
where do you think there? Because I mean, even talking about myself, you know, I present this show where we talk about sex every week.
Yeah,
I've made sex education videos online. I always talk Amazing. Very openly I love what you and do, honestly. By the way. Thank you so much. But despite the fact that I do all of this, even when I walk into a sex shop, I still feel that moment of like nervousness.
Yeah.
And I don't know why. It's strange.
It's because I think we're all quite like, we're almost like conditioned to be a little bit embarrassed about sex.
Yeah.
And even though you can be really open in your own life, to go out freely and say like, I enjoy sex or I am a slut, you know, whatever slut means. Like there's still that level of shame. I mean, even me, like I talk very openly about my experiences and I get paid to talk about them. But even I, at moments, like even my mum, like she's not going to listen to the show.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah, like I have my like, oh God, I don't want to talk about that because mum might hear it. Like you do get those moments. Like with me, sometimes if I go into a store where people probably don't know who I am, like outside of London, I still get it. Like,
it's interesting,
like, oh,
isn't it?
I wonder what they think I'm here for. Because like, I know these products. Like, you kind of want to go up to the till point, but by the way, I'm not a normal customer. Like, but yeah, no, I get it. It's the shame
that's
factor,
still associated there. Yeah. It's interesting to hear that even you have that little nervousness when you go into somebody else's store and you're out of your kind
Absolutely.
Of comfort zone.
Yeah.
I think probably everybody in the world feels that way at some point in their life.
One thing I do love though is when you go to a sex shop kind of like in the middle of nowhere. Like I remember not so much this is in the middle of nowhere. Uxbridge is a very popular place, but there's this little back alley sex shop in Uxbridge, like West London near Heathrow. And I love it because I love a little independently run sex shop, you know, rickety floors and carpet. I love that, like that's because that's where my career began.
Yeah,
so I get a sense of like home from that. So when I go into those shops, I'm like, oh yes, look, the ceiling tile's coming down, this is great. I probably appreciate them for the wrong reason.
That's so lovely though. Was it like a steep learning curve to go into a job like that? Because I feel like there are so many, every time I've gone into a sex shop, whether it's for myself or with a friend, whatever question I've asked the person on the counter, they've known the answer.
Yeah.
And it can be really specific questions about really specific things. And there's so much on offer that like,
Too much on offer.
I can't fathom. Like I've been doing this for years now, and even I go in a sex shop and I'm like, I don't know what that's for, no idea what that is. Like, it's so much to learn. Like, how do you get all that information?
I mean, I work, luckily I'm quite, because of my writing and stuff, we have an industry magazine, which is called ETO, which stands for Erotic Trade Only. So it's an industry magazine. So if you work in the adult toy industry or in any position, like whether you're in a store, a distributor, a manufacturer, you know, whether you're a company which promotes, a PR company, we get like an industry press. So I'm always learning about new products, and it's, I love it. And I write for one of the I write for that one.
Mm.
So I'm always getting the press releases and stuff. So I'm clued up, luckily. But I prefer it when someone asks me a question and I have to do a little bit of investigating.
Yeah.
Because it gets a bit boring, kind of going like, all right, try this. You know, use this spray, or, you know, maybe use a cock ring. But when someone says something, you're like, oh, hang on. I don't actually 100% know the answer to that. I might know something which may help, but give me 5 minutes.
I like that. So yeah, it's like you're always learning. Or the hope is that, you know, somebody might come in and teach you something new.
Love it. I mean, the best conversations I have in my job are with the dominatrixes.
Yeah.
I have a special soft spot for the females.
So tell me about the, you know, having a dominatrix coming into the store. What kind of conversations would you be having?
I just love it when they come in, like, especially what this, I mean, I haven't worked in the retail store for a long time and I do miss it, but like, I used to love it when they come in, they've got this like big pathetic man on a chain, and they're like, we want to destroy his ass.
Wow.
What's the biggest toy you do? And like, and I'm thinking that, I'm sure that sounds great in terms of dominating someone, but let's check he can actually use that toy without harming him.
Yeah,
so
that's
kind of
important.
Have to slide
in
there without trying to like break the dynamic of their relationship. But yeah, like, I love that. I love, I guess when they come in, they want a very specific type of bondage equipment, or maybe some sort of bondage outfit or some sort of strap, and you're like, we don't actually do that, but give me a minute, I'll find someone who does.
I love that.
So yeah,
so
you
much.
Kind of go through this Rolodex of like filth, and it's, yeah.
And then at what point did you kind of go from, you know, working in these stores and decide that, you know, you wanted to do something a little bit more and go into writing and build your website and all the rest of that?
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't so much like an ambitious kid, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
I really just thought I need to get some sort of job going in a topic that I'm good at. And it wasn't until I got progressed. So I moved to Clone Zone when I was 19 or 20, I can't remember. And I got progressed quite fast. So I started in the store. And the head office kind of clocked me. I'm like, he's good. So they put me in charge of customer service for the website.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of when it began for me, because I was on the phone to like gay guys all day, every day. And especially older gentlemen. So that was where I got most of my the knowledge from, talking to older guys. You know, guys who, I have a particular soft spot for the older guys who are still in the closet.
Yeah.
And they're calling
absolutely.
Us and they're like, you know, I'm so jealous of your generation. Like, you just have this free access to sex, and they've had these issues they've lived with their whole lives.
Yeah.
And I think that's what's inspired me to start writing things down.
Yeah.
So when I write my guides, like, I've written a guide, like a really intensive guide for beginners to anal. And the reason I wrote it is because I thought I didn't have that.
Yeah.
And these guys certainly didn't have it. And when I'm on, like, I'm not on any dating apps anymore, but when I was, I used to get messages from, like, young guys, like, 18, 19, like, how can I have anal? Like, I've seen your work and I want to be like you. And I'm like, oh, whoa, whoa, whoa. Like, I'm experienced. You don't want to be just jumping into this. So I wrote this intensive guide and I tried to cover all areas. Like, I cover why you're doing it. You know, is it consensual really? Like, are you sure you want to be engaging in like anal? Because as we know, it's not just jump in the back and have sex.
Yeah,
it's like a physically intrusive, you know, thing, and you need to prepare for it. And it has to be done smart, because if it's not, then you can actually harm yourself. So that's where I got my confidence from customers.
I think it's really lovely to kind of hear that you have this almost emotional way of looking at these things, and you don't look at it in a very clinical way, because I think, you know, that is a problem that we have whenever we tend to have conversations around sex education. It can feel extremely clinical, whether that's sex education being taught in schools or like one of these, you know, awareness campaigns that we see being run. So much of the time, not all the time, so much of the time they are super, super clinical. And I feel
it's
like
true.
It needs that heart. It needs that connection. You need somebody to talk to you like you're a human being and to understand, you know, what you might be worried about, what you might be stressed about, etc.
Yeah, it's because it's learned, isn't it? Because I kind of look back in retrospect, I'm like, gosh, I wish I knew that. Like, I wish I kind of had, you know, a little bit of gut. Because we know, like, the base, like, I mean, when you do a little quick Google, you know the basics to anal. Like, well, most people's anal, you know, you douche, you put lube on, you get penetrated. But we know there's, you know, it's multifaceted. Like, are you sure, like, especially your first time, like, are you doing this for the right reasons? Like, is this person pushing you into it? Because it might not feel like it, but like, have a think about that. In my guide, I cover that.
Mm.
I talk a lot about consent.
I feel like it must be really helpful for you as well to kind of have all this anecdotal evidence of all of these people that you've met and worked with over the years.
I'm lucky. Like, I feel like I kind of had the golden ticket, because I had like, it's like being on the front line.
Yeah.
You know, I write because I've heard inquiries from customers for decades.
Yeah.
Like, help me. And I'm like, all right, I'll try. No pressure. But that's where mine comes from.
Yeah,
when you've heard what everyone's curious about, you know what to address.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's amazing what you're doing.
Thank you.
And it's a pleasure to have you here on the show today.
Thank you for having me. It's my first time on radio.
It's your first time? Yeah, we're taking your radio virginity. Yeah. Very excited about that.
It's been a while.
We'll ease you in slow. We are going to play some games and some things very shortly. Cool. But before we do that, let's have a little bit of music. This is a bit of Kim Petras, Queen Petras.
Oh,
wrong
cute.
Turn.
I
we love her. Are you ready to play a game?
Yes.
Our lovely producers have just come in and they've provided us with some tinfoil, some Play-Doh, and some blindfolds.
It looks like a breast implant.
It does look like a breast implant.
And it's kind of sexy.
This Play-Doh in front of us as well has actually been like... The lovely producer Abby actually sat at home and created this for us.
Made
it from scratch. That's her dedication to the Callum McSwiggan Show.
It feels like a tit.
So we're going to play. We're going to play a game. It's a brand new game. We're doing it in 3 rounds.
Okay.
So for the first round, each of us have an envelope in front of us.
Yeah.
You almost threw that on the floor.
Yeah.
Like you're getting too excited.
Yeah,
Calm down, Topher.
It's a tit. I like tits.
So in each of our envelopes, we have apparently a picture of a sex toy.
Okay.
And then we're going to put the blindfolds on and try and make it for the other person to guess what it is.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. So I'm making it for you.
You're making it for me.
Yes, okay.
Yeah, okay. Oh, and we've got a timer. We're going to take it in turns. And I think I'm going to throw you under the bus and make you go first.
Okay,
because I'm in charge. I can make you go first.
Okay. So I have to look at it. Can I look at it now?
Yes. Open it, look at it. Don't let me see it. And then when you're ready, I'm going to...
Oh, fuck's sake. Excuse my language.
Is it really difficult?
It's tricky.
Good.
Oh, God. Okay.
So put your blindfold on.
Okay.
You look very attractive with the blindfold on.
I have them on all the time.
Okay, hands off the Play-Doh. I didn't say start. Cheating.
I just want to touch the tit.
Naughty. Okay, I'm going to start the counter, and that gives you 1 minute. Okay, you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, here we go.
Okay, right. Oh, God. All right, I want to make this perfect. So much pressure.
Okay, walk me through what you're doing without giving it away, though.
Okay, so I'm molding a shape which rests at the base of this product. And I actually really like these products. So there's quite a lot of pressure on myself and the company that I work for.
So you're telling me that this is something that you have used?
Yeah. I can't even say it. Damn it.
No, don't give it away.
I was about to go to work mode and tell you exactly what I was doing.
But you're halfway through your time and you've done, like, nothing. You've made, like, one little ball. There's a ring happening.
Okay,
the ring.
Wait. Oh, God, I really want to get this right.
I've no idea what you're making, but I'm impressed so far.
Yeah.
You've got 15 seconds left.
When you see the...
You've got 10 seconds left, and... you haven't got a great deal in front of you, I'm going to be honest. 5, 3, 2, 1. Hands down, hands away.
Okay.
Stop. Okay, you may take off your blindfold.
All right.
So it's kind of like...
It's actually quite accurate.
It looks like two rings with, like... A tube attached to it. Can you hold it up? Is that gonna?
It's too soft.
Oh, is that part of it?
Yeah, it's kind of. It's all connected. Look, if you look over the top, it's all connected.
Well, I feel like there's this big bulbous thing at the end, which I feel like might be some kind of pump. It looks like some kind of pump, but then I don't understand how the pump connects to the two what look like two little cock rings.
Yeah.
Attached to each other. Maybe it's like
think about what cock rings could attach to.
Yeah, is it like a vibrating? Is that like a vibrating ball thing that then makes the cock rings vibrate?
No, think a little bit further back.
Further back.
Yeah.
So it's like that's to be inserted. So this is like a prostate massager that's attached to.
It's not a prostate massager, but it's something else.
Like I think. Oh, it's a butt plug and a cock ring.
Yes.
Together.
Yes.
I didn't know that existed.
Yeah.
So those two things.
Yeah, they're one of my favorite toys. Yeah.
No way.
I work with a company called Nexus. They make a really good one called Simulate. It literally makes you come like a pig. Like.
But so gracefully.
That's true, though.
Can you hold up your picture for me now? I'm really, really intrigued. Oh wow. Okay. Yeah. I understand. I get it.
You
and
see?
Actually, now that I can see what it actually looks like, your little Play-Doh recreation there is pretty good.
I really want to hold it up for the camera, but I don't want to break my masterpiece.
I think it's going to fall apart. It's going to fall to bits if you try. we're going to take some photos after as well, so do not ruin it. Because
I destroyed the tit to make art.
I think it's my turn now.
Okay.
So I get to look at my picture first. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to do that now. Oh, I'm really nervous. It's going to be something really difficult.
I know. I was shocked by this. I was a bit...
Oh, wow. Well, okay.
Okay.
Fine. Okay, yeah. I know what I'm doing. Right. Let me get my blindfold on. I'm going to take my headphones off for this.
Okay. Tell me when to start the timer.
Okay.
I'm struggling. There you go.
Okay, Topher. Right, I am ready.
Start the timer.
Start the timer.
Now.
Go.
Okay. Okay, he's breaking up the tit.
It feels so moist.
It's such a nice color.
I like
that
it.
Breast. All right.
Okay. This I'm gonna give you like a tiny bit of a clue here. This is something that I have never used.
Okay.
But I've used similar things to this.
That's hard telling me that because everyone I know has used so many sex toys. It's hard for me to have perspective. I'm damaged.
I feel like I'm already ruining this.
Okay, it looks a bit like you're making a vulva.
Okay. Well, I'm not gonna confirm or deny whether or not I'm making
a nice. It looks like a blue waffle.
But maybe I need to add a little bit.
Don't Google blue waffle.
Get a bit more Play-Doh.
Okay.
And just like make it a bit more, and then here.
Okay.
For anyone listening to this, I'm not going to be.
He's fingering
any
the vulva.
I am, but I need to kind of go deep like that. okay, I think.
That's good
I'm
finger
actually,
work.
I think I'm done.
Okay,
I'm done. Okay, I'm taking off my blindfold.
Okay.
Wow, that's just a ball with a hole in it, isn't it?
Can I see it from above?
You may. That's just a ball with a hole in it.
Okay, I have a feeling I might know what it is.
Okay. Yeah. Tell me.
Is
tell
it
me
like a handheld vaginal masturbator?
Well, yeah, essentially.
Okay, like a sleeve.
Yeah, I'm going to give you that because I don't know what this is called. It's kind of like a fleshlight. But
yeah,
it's like
one of those cheap replications of fleshlights.
Yeah, but it's like it seems like quite shallow. Like there's not a lot of
stretch.
Depth
to when you put your dick into it, it like elongates with you and it has all the suction and stuff.
Well, even though, like.
Nice
this
blue vagina.
This is just a blue ball with a hole in it. The fact that you've got it right.
Yeah, I think it's the shape. Yeah, I'm obsessed with vaginas. I think they're beautiful.
Oh, that's so lovely.
No, I do. That's why, because I was Googling them yesterday. I was talking to my colleagues about vaginas, and they were like, can you stop? I was like, no. It's never going to stop.
Did this look more like a vulva before I kind of put my fist in it, by the way? Or did it never look like a vulva?
Every vulva is different.
Okay,
so
yeah,
someone's vulva looks like that. I think mine probably would.
Okay, I'm going to show my picture to the camera for our lovely people on Twitter or wherever they're watching this.
Mm-hmm.
right, okay, round two.
Okay.
I think we did pretty well. I think you did better than I did, but we've both got the right answers.
Yes.
So that's what matters.
Okay.
Okay, so for the next one, you're going to go first again.
Do I have to blindfold myself?
Yes.
Yep.
And this time, out of the tin foil,
okay,
you are going to create something that people may use, a household object that people may use as a sex toy.
I don't recommend anyone does that.
I don't either, because sex toys are made specifically in a certain way to be safe to use.
Things have bases and like tapered ends for a reason.
Exactly, which is very important. When I was younger, I foolishly did use certain household objects. But we'll talk about more about that.
Yeah, please do.
Shortly.
Oh, you can't leave me. Okay.
so you understand your task?
Yes.
Okay.
Can I use both sheets? Or do I have to
Can use both sheets of the foil.
I'm being spoiled. Okay,
okay,
cool.
You have a minute starting now.
Oh, can I use my eyes? Yeah, of course.
No, you can't use your eyes. That's cheating.
Oh, okay.
Cover them.
All right, cool.
Jesus, Topher. Okay,
right,
go.
Okay. It's going to look like a mound at first, but it will make sense.
Okay.
I hope it does.
You've just balled up all the tin foil.
Yes, because I'm making a very specific shape.
Okay.
Now it's not going to fucking do it, is it? All right,
hang on. It's a pear.
No, think of that kind of shape, but think of like households.
Okay.
So you need this in your house.
So I need this.
Yeah, I mean, it's
can't live without it.
Yeah, you would walk into things all the time if this wasn't inserted into that hole.
Wait, what?
It's something that gets inserted into a hole.
Something that gets inserted into a hole.
Yeah,
and
which is pretty much 99% of my career summed up.
And I would walk into things without it.
Yeah. So this is an illuminating toy.
Okay, interesting.
I'm actually done, I think.
You're done? Okay,
yeah.
Well, you have to wait till the end of the timer, I'm afraid, because I don't know how to stop it.
I'll just perfect my art.
Okay, 3, 2, 1.
Okay.
Boom. I know what it is. You've actually done a really good job. It's a light bulb.
Yes.
And you've done the little screw top and everything at the end.
So, I have a story about this.
Oh, God.
And I don't know if this is bollocks or not, but my ex-partner from 107 years ago...
Yeah.
His sister worked in A&E.
Okay.
And she said there was so many people using light bulbs up their asses and them exploding that they actually developed a particular type of glue to withdraw them. Now, I don't know if that's true or not, and I purposely have never researched it, because if I find out it's not true, it'll break my heart.
What I don't understand about that is, if I'm at home and I'm like, I don't have any sex toys to hand and I desperately want to stick something inside myself.
Yeah.
For me, the last thing I would ever go for is a light bulb, because it's made of glass.
Yeah, I mean, people aren't the brightest at times, are they?
The brightest.
Literally.
See what you did there. yeah, I don't... I cannot fathom putting a light bulb inside myself.
Well, apparently there is a... I don't want to Google it, because I don't want to know if it's a lie. I just choose to believe there is a certain type of glue for this reason. And I choose to believe that.
I would like to believe that that's true as well. Yeah. And I'm not going to Google it because I think if it's not true, it's going to ruin it.
And anyone who Googles it for me, I will just block them immediately.
Yeah, we don't want to know if that's true.
Ignorance is bliss.
Yeah, ignorance is bliss. Mm-hmm. I think it's my turn.
Okay.
I've lost my blindfold. Here it is. Okay. These are very lovely blindfolds, by the way. Yeah. I've got a lovely purple one.
I've got a nice blue.
Oh, I have to take my headphones off. Okay.
I quite like my light bulb.
You did really well.
All those art classes paid off.
Really, really well. Right, okay. You know which button you're pressing, Topher?
Yes.
Don't press the wrong one or the show ends. It just immediately takes us off the air if you push the wrong button.
Are you ready? Do you know where your foil is?
Yeah, okay, I'm ready.
3, 2, 1, go.
Okay. Right, I need to be clever about this.
Okay.
Okay, so I'm using one piece of foil.
Okay, it's a lot. It looks like a tentacle.
Okay, bear in mind, like, I don't have enough foil. I'm just going to tell you that.
Okay.
Because I feel like I need more in order to create what I want to create.
Okay.
How long left do I have, Topher? I'm panicking.
I can't see. Where's it playing?
Oh, no, you can't see.
I don't know.
Okay, fine. I'm going to guess and we're about halfway through.
Okay. So this is like an ashtray?
Okay. No, it's not. It's not. Okay, then that there...
Oh, okay. Is this something you use to style your...
I have finished. I'm going to take the blindfold off because I've finished. Okay. I don't know if the time's up. Oh, it's 10 seconds left. Well, I'm done. Okay. I'm done.
It's a spoon?
Wait, the time is still going. Okay, yeah. Timer is done. 3, 2, 1. You think it's a spoon?
A spoon or a hairbrush with the hair pulled out?
Well, remember how much foil I had.
Okay.
Like, I didn't have as much foil as I hoped.
That's a really good spoon if it's not a spoon.
It's not a spoon.
What is it?
It's not a spoon. I needed more. It's not completed because I didn't have enough foil.
It looks like a spoon.
You actually almost hit the right answer a second ago.
Hairbrush.
Yeah, but it's not a hairbrush. It's like, you know those long brushes you use to like scrub your back?
Those back thing. It has the bobbles on one side and the scrubber on the other side.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, a back scrubber.
Yeah, back scrubber. Okay.
And they have, those balls are nice to sit on.
And well, I used this end, like it was one of the first things I ever inserted into myself.
Oh my gosh.
When I was curious about, like, because everyone was like, oh, gays have anal. I'm like, do we? Okay,
right,
well.
Better put this in.
Better put something in there and see. Didn't enjoy the experience. Not going to lie. Wasn't very fun.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Okay.
It fell apart. Didn't mean to.
Luckily, it didn't fall apart inside of you.
No. So I think I lose that one because you didn't quite get it.
It does look like a really good spoon, though. You should have just said spoon.
I should have lied and said it was a spoon, shouldn't I?
Yeah.
Should have lied. But we touched upon it briefly, but I do think it's actually really important for us to talk about this. And it's, again, why sex toys are designed the way that they are designed.
Yeah,
you go. You're the sex educator.
Yeah, well, it's like things are tapered for, like, for example, butt plugs. They pop in, they come out in a triangular shape, then they dip in, and that's where it inserts. And they have the base so you don't swallow them. Because your anus will try and swallow something.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it does happen all the time. Like, A&E is full of it. People putting things... And then one of the most common things people put up their bums are Barbie dolls.
Really?
I don't know why people put... I mean, think of its hair.
But you could spread the Barbie... Not that I'm... Do not do this, but I'm just saying, you could, like, spread the Barbie doll's legs, and that would create...
Some
base.
Sort of taper.
But then I guess they could easily fold back down and then it's lost inside
you. If you get too excited and you move around too much, the legs pop in.
Absolutely.
Yeah, but it's just like to protect you because things do go up. Things get swallowed.
They absolutely do. They absolutely do.
It's been known.
Good work on educating the masses there. Okay, we have one last round.
Okay.
We're going to do this at the same time. We're going to do this without blindfolds.
All right.
We are going... What are we creating? I completely forgot what we're doing. We are going to create our perfect genitals in a perfect world. Now, I am going to put a caveat to this and say that I don't actually have perfect genitals. I think, anyone's private parts, whatever they look like.
Yeah, I'm an old slag. I don't care.
I'm down for that.
As long as you've got them, I'll use them.
But let's cry and... Shall I do a timer? Shall I do a timer? Will I do a timer? No, we won't do a timer. I want you to walk me through what you're doing. And we need... if you've decided to do male, I want the penis and the balls.
Yeah.
If you've decided to do female,
I'm
going to
do male
I love a willy. I've got a bit too much Play-Doh. We don't need to get carried away with size here.
That's another thing I'd like to say. I don't I don't believe in the whole size matters thing.
Yeah, we're not being size queens here today.
You just need 4 inches to have a prostate orgasm.
So you're really systematic about the way that you're doing this. You're rolling up little balls together.
I'm very passionate about
and
balls.
And I'm just kind of like squeezing things in my hand and hoping it kind of looks...
Do you know what schlop is?
Do I want schlop. To know what schlop is?
Do you know when someone's got nice droopy balls and they're fucking you in doggy position and they smack you underneath?
Oh,
schlop. Welcome
I
to schlop.
I love that. Schlop.
With the manager of our Soho store, Raph, who's a superstar, me and him have an obsession with the word schlop because he knows I love big balls.
I love that. I think I love big balls too.
Yeah.
I think that's a thing.
I'm not
a
size queen, but I definitely am a fan of testicles.
Now that we've said that, I'm gonna give this lovely gentleman here.
I'm trying to give mine. Mine's quite big.
We're not going for size over here on my side. We're not.
Everyone I've slept with recently has big willies, though. So
I genuinely think gay men have big penises. They did that study, but I'm not sure there was any, like, you know, I don't think that was statistically valid, that study. But, like, I don't know. I'd say 99% of the people I've been with have had very large penises, and I don't understand why. I think it's a gay thing.
I think my job scares, because of my like title or whatever, I think people who aren't well endowed might be scared to approach me because I think they'll think I'll be expecting these monster dicks.
Right.
In my job, I work with a lot of porn actors.
Yes.
So I'm kind of used to seeing big dicks. I'm kind of desensitized.
But I do think as well, particularly, I think there are certain types of porn, like, a lot of twink porn and stuff now that nowadays, you know, it's not all about like size or anything like that, and you're starting to see like a lot more guys who aren't particularly well endowed or anything like that, and that's fine, and,
with the rise of OnlyFans, just for fans,
I find that so interesting. It's gone huge, and like so many people are able to become performers and things now, so
as long as they're making coin, I'm happy
for them.
Good
for them.
Loads of my friends, like most of my friends, are adult performers. I just couldn't do it. I'm far too intimate for that.
Yeah, I understand that. I'm not... See, I really wanted to create a foreskin, but I'm not very...
I really like this willy that I've made.
I don't...
Can we bake it so I can keep it?
I'm not... I'm going to use a pen to do the little urethra.
I did that too.
Did you?
Yeah, I used this pen. I'm putting veins into mine now.
Okay, well, mine is quite ugly, but it's okay because we... Mine's really ugly. That's not what I intended. But there we go.
Mine's very vascular.
So I need to see. I can't see yours.
Oh, I can't. Can I move the screen?
Yes, you can. Oh, I can see. Yeah. Oh, wow. Okay, so you've gone for quite a sizey.
Yeah,
like a decent size.
Yeah, it's like a meaty. It's like a, I don't know. I guess that's what, like, it's just under 7 inches.
Yeah, and you've done a few veins in there, which is nice.
We've got a nice head. Urethra.
Yours is circumcised.
Yes.
You've gone for a circumcised.
Yeah.
Interesting. Well, over here, I tried to go for it. Like, I've done mine pointing up towards the sky.
Yeah, and it's uncircumcised.
It's uncircumcised. It's also quite ugly, which it's wasn't intentional.
No willy is ugly.
Exactly. It's beautiful in its own way. It does look a little bit like a pig.
I want to do a shot out of it. It's got that nice little hair.
It's quite girthy. I'd say it's like almost, it's bordering on like a chode situation.
Chody. Yeah, we do a sex toy called a chode.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, it's like short and thick.
I like that. And it was supposed to have droopy balls, but they kind of didn't work.
Schloppers.
But this has been delightful.
Yeah,
Isn't it fun to play with Play-Doh while live on the radio?
Last time I played with Play-Doh, I think I was 7, so it's a little bit of an upgrade.
This is complete, total upgrade. I'm going to put my vulva toy and my penis together.
Yeah.
And I'm really not good at this, am I? Like, there, you've got some absolute masterpieces. And right here, we've got some things that can't really be described.
I mean, I don't
want to
brag, but they are pretty amazing.
Yeah, you've done a great job.
Yeah.
I think it's time for a bit of music. Let's do a little bit of Hit the Back. Very, very relevant there. By King Princess.
I need you to search my clothing, pat me down and feel the molding. Underneath this table feels so good to me. And I need you to be my motor and run me till I can't go further. 'Cause every turn you take is just exciting me. And ain't I the best you had? Hit the back, tell me I need. safety. And everything you touch just feels like yours to me.
Thank you for indulging me in that game, Topher.
You're more than welcome. That was the best moment of my whole life.
That was a lot of... Highlight of your career. Highlight
of
mine.
I made an organic Play-Doh butt plug.
What more could you want?
I'm just going to go outside now and end it all because I'm done.
let's talk a little bit more about you and your work.
Yes.
And let's talk a little bit more about your... writing, because I know you do. We talked briefly about how you have your website and people write into you and you answer them privately.
I don't like to expose people unless they say to me, like, if there is a particularly interesting topic in the future, I will be saying to people, do you want me to talk about it? If not, it's all good, like, I won't. But if it's something I think can benefit people, absolutely. I'm not going to do something just for shock factor.
But if
someone sends me an inquiry and I'm like, you know what, that'd actually be really beneficial for this demographic, I kind of monitor who's on my website, so I'm like, obviously they're interested, so I'm going to write about that.
What kind of things do you write about?
There's obviously sex tips, sex guides. I do sex toy reviews. I do sex toy testing. But I don't submit negative reviews.
Oh, okay,
which
interesting.
A lot of people in my industry do, but if I use something, I don't enjoy it.
You just say nothing.
I say, because it's just not my style. I don't want to be like, it's just not. I like to be positive. I write about my own experiences and stuff. I write about emotional stuff to me. Like, I wrote, when I launched my website, I wrote a piece about someone who kind of broke my heart a little bit earlier this year.
Yeah.
Because people, when you do my job, especially when you're dating, people see you as this, like, you're just sex. It's quite hard. And I'm like, no, well, obviously that's a huge part of my identity, but, I'm a human being too. And, like, I do have feelings. And I thought if I was going to do a website where I'm so sexual and open, I may as well be a little bit vulnerable too.
Absolutely.
Because I would like to be accessible as a human, not just like, this kind of sex god or whatever you want to call it.
Absolutely. I do think there can be a tendency within the sex industry, however you fit into that, it can be quite dehumanizing.
Definitely.
I think particularly for porn stars, I've interviewed a few porn stars in the past.
Yeah.
And there kind of has been this overarching theme of them feeling like people do see them as these emotionless creatures and they don't see them as real. And they also find that people are too intimidated to ask them on a date or want to have sex with them, etc. Which part of me almost like understands why people feel that way, but they really shouldn't.
Lots of my close friends are porn performers and I'm very protective of them, and I see the way people talk to them and I see how people handle them, and I especially see how businesses work with them. So, like, people will want them to wear clothes for them or represent their brand. But I'm like, well, where's the money?
Yes.
These boys have got bills to pay. Like, these are sex workers.
Absolutely.
Put some money in their pocket. Like, every porn star I work with through Clone Zone, they get rewarded.
That's really
important. I just believe in that. And I've worked with sex workers since I was 18.
Yeah.
So it's part of me. Like, I like pulling them into my work. Like, they're entertaining. They're some of the most interesting people in the whole world.
Absolutely.
And they're humans. And like, when I see, especially on Twitter, especially some of my friends who do bisexual porn or sleep with like trans men who are pre-op, And some of the ignorance you see in the tweets, and I'm just like, that is absolutely disgusting. And I have to, it's that fine line between trying to be professional and then also thinking, like, you're insulting my friend, I'm going to rip your fucking head off.
Yes. Do you know what I mean? It's hard, yeah, it's hard to find that balance.
Ignorance is not bliss. I'm not a fan of it. Not surrounding sex workers. Like, they've got it hard enough. Leave them be.
Yeah.
Let them make them put their money.
And how do you feel about kind of like the education that is, I know we touched upon it a little bit already, but the education that is already available? Because I think I often talk about like sex education in schools as in it's not enough, but I'm often relaying that to my own experiences in school when I actually left school 14 years ago.
Yeah, well, it's still, I mean, like I said, I've still got 18-year-olds sending me messages. Like, people, especially when you're like a gay person or a queer person on any level, you're not really taught about what to expect.
Yeah.
And I know there's obviously been a lot of reaction to LGBT education on whatever level. But when it comes to sex, like, if you're a young gay boy, like I was, I didn't know what to expect. Like, I didn't know what I was going out into, and I had to learn. And this is why people make bad decisions.
Yeah.
This is why young people end up in bad situations, why people are uneducated, because they don't know what they're doing. And there's no, like, kind of role model or peer. Or, like, that's why I wanted... A lot of people, I've kind of had a few snobby comments about my work because it's all entry level. And I could go on from my experiences and go to like intensive guides to whatsoever, but my heart is with the beginners.
Absolutely.
You know, because they need education, and there are so many, there is so much pressure on us, especially as gay guys, to be so sexually experienced and to be so awoken. And the truth is, a lot of us aren't. Like, I get phone calls from guys of all ages being like, I've got this guy I've met on Grindr or whatever. He's coming over. He wants to try this. What is it? And I'm like, wait, so you've agreed to do something without...
That you don't even know what it is.
I mean, it's scary. Yeah. I mean, those situations, 70% of the time, can result in something absolutely fun and fabulous. And, like, you've learned a new thing that you adore about your body. But it could also result in you, like, really harming yourself.
Yeah.
Or putting yourself in a situation which is dangerous or...
It worries me when there's like an imbalance like that. The fact that person is, you know, doesn't feel comfortable enough to say to that person, I actually don't know what that is. Could you teach me? Could you show me? It already shows that there's a power imbalance there. And then I worry what would happen then if they said, we're doing this thing, and you're like, I don't want to do that thing.
Yeah.
And it's this whole kinds of consent issues.
The word that I write the most, and it's not dick, it's not asshole, it's communication.
Yes.
I write communicate about 150 times a day.
It is the most important thing.
You have to be open. And I think at some stage you have to own it and say, you know what, I don't really know what I'm doing. And if you're in a situation with someone sexually who isn't understanding that you are a beginner, don't be in that situation. Remove yourself from it. Yeah, it's going to be uncomfortable. It's probably going to make you cringe. It's not something you're going to want to brag about. But rather that than put yourself in a situation which could like be detrimental to your mental health, can harm you physically, you know, can leave you scarred. You know, I just think communicate. Open your mouth. Like, I'm a bit of a big mouth. I've always been a bit vulgar and brash, and it's easy for me to say. So I try to impart that when I write.
Yeah.
I'm like, just find a window in there. And if you can't find a window in there, then don't be there. Yeah. Because it's everything is... Rather wait a little bit longer and find someone you're compatible with than put yourself in a situation because you don't want to be lonely or you don't want to give up on this guy because he's really hot. And then you have a shit experience. So what was the point?
Yeah.
You've wasted it.
Absolutely.
Wait, communicate.
Do you think like education in schools, etc., will ever be enough? Or do you think we'll always need an extra element, like the kind of thing that you're offering?
With the explosion of the internet, I think the extra element is kind of needed.
Yeah.
I think brands should be doing more. I know there are brands that do great work. I know that Superdrug do a fantastic job. I know that Durex do a fantastic job. But there's more. I mean, people have responsibilities. Supermarkets have responsibilities. You know, anywhere that a young person goes to buy condoms, you can go into the pound shop now and buy lube. But, you know, if you can buy a sex toy for £1 and it's that accessible, where's the education?
That should come along
with
it.
Don't just stick that straight in yourself. You might hurt yourself. You know, it might get lost. Like those vibrators in the pound shop, for example, don't have bases. They're not tapered.
How is it legal that a product like that is available?
All it needs is a little disclaimer, a little guide, and people like don't want to put a picture of a vagina up on a shop shelf in case it embarrasses someone or offends someone. But I'm like, well, where it has to meet in the middle somewhere.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because you want people to be knowing what they're doing.
Yeah.
because your genitals are fucking sensitive, and that's a great thing most of the time, but it can also hurt.
absolutely. We've talked about your writing and your website so much, but I don't think we've actually told people what it is or where they can visit it.
It's my name, tophataylor.co.uk.
tophataylor.co.uk.
And if you can't spell that, it's Topher Taylor.
Thank you for that.
Yeah, story helpful. Of my life. Hi to Fifi. Hi Topher.
We are going to do, our lovely listeners have sent us in some of their sex confessions, questions about sex now.
I didn't know that. Awesome.
This is all completely anonymous, so we're not going to read out these people, and they are aware that we're reading these out.
Okay.
Would you like to read one?
Okay, yeah.
Yeah? Sure. If you're comfortable with that, would you mind reading the top one here?
Okay. I'm kind of big. I'm not trying to be cocky. And lube hurts my boyfriend. What do we try?
I'm interested by the fact that lube hurts the boyfriend. Could they have an allergy?
Yeah, lube. I mean, lube in general won't hurt your boyfriend. A certain type of lube will hurt your boyfriend.
Yeah.
Look for something that's paraben-free.
Okay.
You know, if you're using water-based, maybe try silicone-based. Look for a vegan lube. There's a good brand called Swiss Navy who do a really good vegan lube. I'm trying to think of other options. Don't go using kitchen oil, or especially if you're using condoms. This is one thing I really would like to say. Don't use baby oil, and don't use baby oil gel, especially if you're having protected sex, because oil will destroy condoms. The amount of times I've had this conversation with people, do not use oil with condoms. You will destroy it. You're having unprotected sex.
Yeah, Vaseline is one that people like to use. Oh, big no-no.
Sticky, I don't want a sticky batty. But yeah, just try a different lube. I assume he's probably using one, like there's a certain type of lube called liquid silk, which can make people a little bit stingy. Mm-hmm. Try something a bit purer. Try like just a simple lube, but yeah, like look out for parabens.
Do you have any advice for them as well? Because they're saying as well that he's saying that his size is also potentially part of the issue.
Practice relaxation. You know, try a butt plug before sex. Try fingers before sex. I'm not saying put two straight in. Start with one, two, three. Like wear a butt plug for an hour before.
Would you recommend those? I know they do like. I'm interested to see whether you would recommend them. Actually, they do like. Butt plug trainer kits, which starts out small them. And then it grows bigger and bigger and
bigger. But a lot of the bigger ones are for, you know, experts. So maybe just do small and medium.
Like, so when we're saying get a butt plug, a small one, not...
Yeah, like start, I mean, your eyes are always bigger than your belly. And I do think something that looks tiny ain't going to feel tiny. Like, it doesn't matter how experienced you are, like having silicone inside of you feels different sometimes to a dick.
Yeah.
And a finger.
Absolutely.
Treat yourself like a beginner.
Okay, I'm going to read the next one. My best friend is gay, and I'm a guy, and recently came out as bisexual. My best friend thinks I can't make my mind up and is trying to make me be fully gay like him.
Oh, God.
How do I get through to him that I'm absolutely bisexual? We had a question like this really recently as well. It's unbelievably frustrating.
It is. I mean, there's a lot of biphobia. And I mean, I'm not saying your best friend is biphobic, but your best friend's being ignorant.
I think it's one of those things that it's so like, biphobia is so common that I think so many people say these kind of things without realizing how problematic.
It's damaging.
And damaging it.
If your sexual identity is being like challenged by your best friend, like it's going to cause you, you know, God knows, you know, if you're thinking I can't even turn to my closest person.
Yeah.
I mean, biphobia isn't just like, as we know, it doesn't just come from straight people. It's much more prevalent within the gay scene. Like, oh, he's just hasn't made his mind up yet. He's trying to be interesting.
Yeah.
You know, he's artistic. No, some people just like both genders.
I also think that there could be a little bit of insecurity on your friend's behalf here. You know, the fact that your friend is gay and being like, oh, no, you must be gay like me. You can't be bisexual. Because it kind of sounds like he wants you to be gay because that makes him feel like he's got someone who feels the same.
Well, I mean, you are. I mean, all of us in the queer community, we're connected, aren't we? Like, we all have that. You know, I'm completely different to a trans woman.
Yeah.
But I feel like that's my sister.
Yeah,
like, we're
absolutely
in it together. Like, if someone comes for you, I'm going to stand in front of them.
Absolutely.
Do you know what I mean? Like, we're in it together.
Yeah, and just because you're not the same, it doesn't mean that you can't, you know, still talk about your experiences and figure things out together.
We're a community for a reason, and I do believe that. And I think that Pride in London this year was amazing. I was honoured to ask to open the parade.
Oh, wow.
And we walked in support of trans people.
Yeah.
So I held a banner that said G with the T.
Amazing.
Because of the, you know, the interruption of the parade last year from TERFs. So we held signs that says L with the T, G with the T, and B with the T. And then we had Pride with the T. And I walked with G, And it was just the most emotional experience. Like, you're walking, and I had to wear sunglasses for the whole parade because you're seeing these young trans kids, and you see them with their trans flag tied around the shoulder, and no one knew we were doing it. So they were shocked. And you see their faces light up, and a few of them started crying. Aww. So I'm on the end. Like, I'm an emotional wreck half the time anyway. So I'm crying my eyes out, trying to hold this flag, like, stumbling down, like, Whitehall. But it was amazing. And I think, yeah, I just think we're a community, and we're all going to trip over our words sometimes. We're all going to say ignorant shit. We're all guilty. I do it all the time.
Yeah, yeah,
and I'm very
absolutely.
Educated. But, you know, if your best... Just rather than say, oh, your best friend's an asshole, just say, you know what? I don't like you saying that to me. You're writing off my identity. This is who I am.
And it goes back to what you were saying, and I know this isn't, you know, necessarily a conversation about sex. It's more about friendship and relationships. But yeah. Again, it's all about communication.
Like, you can't write off my identity. I'm not a big fan of people having to explain themselves. I've always been like that.
Yeah.
That's why I feel sometimes a little bit disconnected from our current social media generation of, like, this is who I am, blah, blah. I'm like, that's great, but who cares?
You don't have
don't
to do
prove
that.
Yourself to anyone. Like, just get on with your life. You will meet people like you. You'll meet people who don't like you. You know, you might be 18, you might be 38, but, you know, you're going to find someone who understands you eventually.
Yeah.
And social media is great for that, but social media is also toxic. So it's finding that right balance. And I think a lot of it comes down to just being open and honest, but not having to explain yourself to everyone, because shouting at an ignorant person isn't going to change.
No.
You know, put that energy into something else. Put that energy into supporting someone like you who's younger, like you who's older, like you who hasn't had the experiences that you've had.
Absolutely.
That's what I do anyway.
That's really lovely advice.
Thank you.
I like that. Topher, that actually brings us right up to the end of the show.
Okay.
So remind us again where everyone should be following you.
If you want to, I post a lot of pictures of my ass. if you like that.
Where can we find those pictures, Topher?
My Twitter is hello, I am Topher, because someone stole my name.
That
and I've been trying to get it back. They haven't tweeted since 2013.
Jesus Christ.
My Instagram is Topher Taylor. My website is tophertaylor.co.uk, and I'm on Facebook too.
Amazing. Yes. Well, it's been an absolute pleasure to have you here. This has been some of the most fun we've ever had in the studio with the Play-Doh and everything else. And obviously your
turning
lovely self.
Turning tits into butt plugs. I loved it.
Everyone should absolutely go and follow you. I think you're an absolute superstar. I mean, everything you're doing is amazing.
Thank you so much.
You should be very Cheers. Proud. I'm going to play you out with a little bit of Todrick Hall.
Oh,
this
I love
is two.
Him. He's cute.
I got two phones, one for loving, one for fucking. I got two cars, one for chilling, one for stunting. I got two commas in the bank, ain't got a bank for nothing. I got two balls, tell my haters they can suck 'em. I got two, 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 two. I got two, 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 two. 'Cause I'm too busy winning and too goddamn fine. I got two of you, and he on the other line. Clear? It was just last Tuesday, he blew me like a tuba. It was too good to be true, yeah, it was fishy like some tuna. Is you two-timing me, bitch, is the love true or not? Is there two of us? And sorry, I say two a lot. Anyway, he gave me out of two. I say, who you talking to? Then I said, toodles. Then I told him, hit the road like two Wong Fu. He said, all I got's $2. I said, oh, bitch, that's too cute. You got two lips, I got two cheeks, bitch. I think you know what to do. I got two phones, one for loving, one for fucking. I got two cars, one for chilling, one for stunting. I got two commas in the bank, ain't got a bank for nothing. I got two balls, tell my haters they can suck 'em. I got two, 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 two. I got two, 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 two. 'Cause I'm too bootylicious, these thighs are too thick. I got two of you, and he got a bigger purse too. He got his Timbuktu on, took his ass back to Tucson. I turned up to some tuna shake, 'cause I love to get two on. Had to get him out my head like a toupee. Wish I slapped that nigga twice, 'cause he two-faced. He called me, I said, I don't give two fucks. You two down and I'm two up. You too damn old for this. I'm tired of this shit. Two girls, one cup. You too cheap to buy red roses. You can keep these damn two loves. He said, can we just talk tomorrow? I said, shh, don't interrupt. I got two phones, one for loving, one for fucking. I got two
cars, one for chilling, one for stunning. I got two commas in the bank, ain't got a bank for nothing. I got two balls, tell my haters they can suck 'em. I got two, two. I'm too much. Not to toot my horn, but stop the music. Toot, toot. Tonight I got this intuition that I'm too cute. Like I'm D-Square, got two brothers.
You've been listening to a FUBAR Radio podcast. For more information, go to FUBARradio.com.